Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In today's culture, it's not popular to talk about spiritual warfare. We have come up with medical and psychological explanations for the supernatural, which completely discount the possibility of a spiritual explanation for what Scripture would describe as demonic possession, as we see it in our gospel reading today. So we come to something like our gospel reading, which describes a man being possessed by a legion of demons. And a modern interpretation would suggest that the man suffered from a mental illness such as schizophrenia. Now, this is not to say that mental illnesses are caused by demonic possession or are mistaken for demonic possession. It is also not to say that there's even necessarily a connection between the two when it arises. However, this is an indication of just how far the devil has gone in hiding his activity today. After all, it has been said that the greatest lie the devil ever told was convincing us that he doesn't exist. But as we look through Scripture, we see that the devil is all too real and his agents are all too willing and interested and excited to draw us away. First, we talk about the devil, or Satan, or as he is sometimes called, the accuser, who is a fallen angel who rebelled against God and said, as we see in Isaiah chapter 14, he said in his heart, "I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." That is the devil. The devil rebelled against God and consequently was cast out of heaven, as we see in Revelation. Not only that, but he has a proper role in God's creation as the accuser. He accuses people of their sin. His role or function is essentially to serve as a prosecuting attorney who accuses people of their sins before God. Any and all of your sins, Satan can and will against you in a heavenly court of God's law. And even today, Satan works through his agents to bring about the downfall of God's people and of God's church, both himself and through his agents, whom we would call demons or fallen angels. These, like Satan himself, were lured into joining Satan's rebellion against God. And when Satan fell, these also were cast from heaven. Satan sends them out to instill fear, to tempt, to bring despair. He wants us to turn away from God, just as Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. And so it was a legion of these demons who had possessed the Gerasene demoniac in our gospel reading and drove him out into the desert, who gave him the power to break his bonds and run away, who were tormenting this man and keeping him from anyone who loved him or could help him. And even today, Satan does the same thing. Perhaps it doesn't look to us the same way as it did with that demoniac, that demon-possessed man, but Satan's minions, the demons, still tempt us into sinning against God and despairing of our sins. And they do this through the world around us, which was originally created to be good and perfect, and yet was corrupted by sin. And so consequently, the world conspires with Satan to corrupt us with its alluring ways. In James chapter 4, the apostle writes, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." And as Jesus himself says, the world has hated us because we are not of the world, just as he is not of the world. The world is against God's will and God's people. And our culture is, in fact, a major player in the world's schemes to tempt us. We can go through all of the ways in our modern culture that the culture opposes God and makes opposition to God sound like the next best thing, but if we did that, we'd probably be here all day. Even our own sinful nature conspires with God, with Satan against us. That our sinful passions, which are aroused by the law, are at work in our members to bear fruit for death, as Paul says in Romans chapter 7. "Then again, I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Our sinful nature, our own self, conspires with Satan to corrupt us, to lead us astray after the world's passions. All of these things are arrayed against us, working to draw us away from following God. But we know about them, so we can resist them, right? Sadly, it is not that easy. We can try to resist the temptations by which Satan attempts to bring us down. When we see the temptation coming, we can turn and run the other way to get away from it. When you are tempted to look at something you shouldn't, you can exert the willpower to look away. When you are tempted to waste time at work, you can resist the temptation, exert the willpower to be diligent in your work. It makes you feel really good when you resist the temptation to sin, right? You can do this on your own. You can kick the sin habit and be a better person. You know what that's called? Pride. Even in turning away from sin, you can't help but turn right into another sin. Ultimately, we fail on our own power. We just simply can't get away from sin. It is all around us. We are like a cliff that is overlooking the ocean. We may feel big and tough and strong, able to resist those waves, but over time, that cliff slowly, eventually, inevitably gets eroded away by the constant battering of the waves. On our own, we are doomed to fail. There is no way for us to resist the devil on our own. But we are not on our own, because our Heavenly Father is so much greater than the enemies that are arrayed against us. Our God is so much more powerful than the devil. The creator of the heavens and the earth has the power to triumph over Satan. And it is by his triumph over Legion that Jesus demonstrates his might. Now, in Roman military terms, a legion would be a grouping of up to 6,000 soldiers, depending on how long they've been in service, and consequently how many soldiers they've lost to death, because a legion would stay together for their entire military service, and it was very unusual for legions to be combined after they had been called together. And so it would be probably 2,000 to 6,000 soldiers. These guys, these demons, have been tormenting this man for years. And Jesus comes along and he casts them out like it's nothing. And that's not all. By his crucifixion, Jesus raises the battle standard by which his forces overwhelm Satan. In Colossians 2, the apostle writes, "You who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to shame by triumphing over them in himself, in Christ." By his death on the cross, Christ overcomes. He himself says that when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. His cross is the way in which he triumphs over Satan. And he himself commands his own legions of angels in the battle. In Matthew 26, when he's arrested, he tells the disciples, "Do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" He has his angels who protect and defend us from the assaults of the evil one, from the devil's demons. In Psalm 91, it says, "He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And then again in Matthew 18, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones. I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." We are surrounded and protected by this great heavenly host, which defends and protects us from the evil one. When it comes to the reality of spiritual warfare, there are a couple of things we really need to keep in mind. First, spiritual warfare is the reality of our situation. We are under assault from the devil because of our faith in Christ. Second, we need to remain vigilant to resist the devil and his temptation. James writes, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Resist the devil in the name of Jesus and he cannot harm you. But the third is the most important. We know that he is already lost. The devil has already been defeated. Though he can try to harm you in this world, God has already overcome him and destroyed his power. By Jesus' death on the cross, he defeated Satan and his minions and claimed us as his own children under his protection. We don't need to fear the war. It's already been won. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.